Welcome once again. You may all be seated to the Household of God Wisdom Assembly. Amen. This is the parish of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and I welcome, we'll have the opportunity to welcome everyone who is worshiping with us for the very first time afterwards. Amen. The word of the Lord says in Genesis 12 verses 1 to 2, actually Genesis 12 verses 1 to 4. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him that curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Amen. By the grace of God, the title of today's word is Faith and Greatness. Faith and Greatness. Father, we ask that you breathe upon your word. We ask that this word will set a fire in our souls in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, oh God, that let me disappear, let me diminish. That it's you that they will hear, and your voice alone that they will see and receive from. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that everyone who's going to come in encounter with this word will leave not the same as they came in the name of Jesus. That by the reason of this word, somebody's question will be answered. And by the reason of this word, somebody will receive their healing, their testimony in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If I ask everyone seated here who believe that our God, whether you believe that our God is faithful and great, I am sure almost everyone will raise your hand. But another important question that I would like to ask and pose forward to every one of us, including myself, is, do you know that God wants us, each and every one of us, without an exception, without regardless of our colors, our creed, regardless of our background, that God wants each and every one of us to manifest his and be a living testimony of his greatness and his faithfulness in our lives? That regardless of whatever the situation may be, regardless of what your bank account is saying, regardless of what your body is saying, that God wants you and I to be testimony, living testimonies of his greatness and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. It's something that I want every one of us to accept as our living truth. The Bible says in Psalm 82 and verse 6 that I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. When the Bible uses the word all, English terminology is very simple. All excludes no one. That means all means everyone minus no one. So if God wants one person to be great and faithful, that means that he wants you seated next to that person to have the same portion. Amen. Now the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 11 verses 1 to 2. Even though we know what the Bible has in store for us with regards to definition of faith, the question again is, what is faith to you and I personally? Can we be in a situation where you always remember that we serve a God that is faithful to his word? Will we always remember that the God we serve and his word are one and the same. We have to come to a place in our mindset, in our spirit man, that we cannot take away God from his word. Why? Because God and his word are the same. So regardless of that situation that we and I may find ourselves, we must always remember God is faithful to his word. Amen. Even though we know the Bible has defined faith as being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Question again that we need to ask ourselves and answer honestly is, what is faith to you? What is faith to me? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, Ephesians 2 verse 8, that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. What does that mean? When I pondered on that Bible verse, I said what the Holy Spirit revealed to me is that the faith that we are talking about, the faith in question, is a gift from God. That God has the capacity to give each and every one of us that gift of faith. And I want to believe that every one of us here seated has that gift. It's just the question is, do you manifest that gift at the appropriate time? Do you manifest that gift in the right situation, in the right scenario? I'm telling you right now that as a parent, there are times when certain things happen in the lives of our children that the first thing you want to give in to is fear before faith. Amen. I can tell you that when I remember that, a personal testimony, not to sidetrack, I remember that when I got my first pregnancy, I was over the age of 35. So imagine that when you go to the doctor in this country, it is doom and damnation if you are pregnant at that age. They begin to tell you that there is a possibility of this and there's a possibility of that. Now, I'm here to submit to you that they may have their truth and their facts based on their training, because I will never take away from the medical perfection, because I believe that God gave them that gift, because not everyone can go in that line. So I respect all doctors and nurses. I really believe strongly that everyone in the medical field is doing a fantastic job. I applaud them. I really, really applaud them. And I accept and I respect your facts, but I have to submit here that I can only stand on the truth of God's word. When I went to see the doctor was, oh, you are this age, so your baby, there's a possibility that your baby can be black, I'm not even going to repeat the words that they use. And I came back to them that you are not talking to me personally. Why? Because this child I am carrying is a proper child. Because one thing is, I apologize because I have to go back to, at this point I can say I'm originally Nigerian. I can borrow past pieces term and say I'm originally Nigerian. But I did not go to the river to beg for this child. This child was a product of prayers and a testimony to God. And I know that the God that I serve is the God that specializes in the impossible, right? So if God specializes in the impossible, how can an improper child be a testimony of his goodness? So I act to go, immediately they say these things to me, I always push it back to them and say, no, that is not my portion. In fact, there was one point when they were going to tell my first pregnancy that they wanted to poke me in my womb. First, I don't like needles. Two, it takes a lot for me to go for regular medical checkups. They want to poke me. And I told them that they just wanted to check to make sure that my baby was 100%. I said, you don't need to check. This baby is 100%. There was a point, I'm telling you that there was a point when they listened for his heartbeat that they couldn't hear anything. I said, maybe there's something wrong with your whatever it is called. But this child is so active that I have to talk to it at night, like, calm down, bros. I need to sleep. So I don't know what you are talking about. So by the grace of God, when the child was born, I did not have to, and I'm not again saying that this is my personal testimony. The child would not have mattered to me whether I had my baby through CS or not CS. But when my baby was born, it was a proper child. 10 toes and 10 fingers were complete. when he came back, he came out with screaming. He came out with a loud voice. This child was a child of testimony. My child ran before he could walk. So I can tell you for a shorty that the medical people can have their facts. God has his truth. And my choice is to stand on God's truth. Amen. So that is what faith does. I also want to tell you that I remember that when... Before I digress, I just want to say a few things that faith in God does. Faith in God makes us take bold steps towards what is ahead of us, not seeing what is in front of us. Let me try and explain that to you. Now, semantically, what is ahead of you and what is in front of you can sound the same. I have to also let you know that I have a background in English. My first degree is in English language, so I might be using certain terms that... So please bear with me. I'm not trying to speak over you, but I'm just, you know, that's just the way I talk. Now, faith in God gives you the boldness to see what is ahead of you. The question is, what is the picture God has painted for your future? Are you living a life? I know, the first time I came to America, and I watched TV, it was either one medication or the other. And then the funny thing to me was, one medication had 20 side effects. So by the time you are using one medication to cure, I remember it was something about sleeplessness or restless leg syndrome. I said in Africa, we had a good remedy for restless legs. It's just in the form of a cane. You know, but it was in America. America has a medical term for everything. Anyway, so when it was restless leg syndrome or something, or sleeplessness or something, and you take this medication, there's a possibility of a heart attack. There's a possibility of this. I'm like, okay, so what's the point of taking one thing if it's going to give you all of this long list of possibilities? I said to myself, in America, one has to paint a picture of what good health. What does the Bible say about good health? God tells us in the book of Jeremiah that I know the thoughts I think for you. So what thoughts do you think that God thinks about us? By the grace of God, we're going to be celebrating with Daddy today and his family and Mommy too and her family. I admire his age. But also, we have to remember that in the Bible, it was at the age of 75 that God called Abraham out of his familiar to start a journey into the unfamiliar. Meaning that long life and prosperity is a plan of God for us, his children. So I have no reason to believe that I will die young. That is my truth. It doesn't matter what is in front of me, because when you are in a certain country that like America, if you are not careful to the things that you listen to, you begin to accept so many things. I recently saw an advert I was enthralled by this advert. It started with the woman. She crashes from one floor. She was hanging clothes, crashes to the next floor. She's right there in front of the people talking, crashes to another floor. She's like in a very executive office. And next thing, she collapses. And then next thing I'm hearing is that one out of the certain number of women die of heart attack. I'm like, God forbid. Why is it only in America? No, God forbid. It is not my portion. And I mean... Imagine if you are not armed with the truth of God's word and you watch such an advert. That kind of thing will breed fear in you. That advert will breed fear in you. So, and I thought you found out that some of these drug adverts, if one is not careful, you would accept that go and see your doctor. If such and such and such and such is doing you, then there's a possibility that you are such and such and such. Then go and see your doctor. Again, I'm not taking away from the medical. I'm not the doctor's enemy. I'm not the nurse's enemy. I applaud you all for what you do. But I'm just saying that sometimes these drug manufacturers, they just play on people's weaknesses and fears to make you rush in the wrong direction. Amen. So the question is, you have to accept the truth for God's word as what is ahead of you, regardless of what is in front of you. In other words, God's faith in God puts a blindfold, what I call God's blindfold, so that you don't see all of the nonsense and the obstacles in front of you. You can only look unto God, and looking unto him above only, knowing that that is where your help comes from. That is where the remedy comes from. It's not from man. It's not from the medication. The medication can help. I'm not even going to take away that there's certain medications that help. Thank God for the epidural. But still, God's word is still the truth. Amen. Faith in God's word gives us that audacity and boldness to reach for the picture, to reach towards that picture that God has painted for us, for you and for me. Amen. When I say us here, this is everybody inclusive. Amen. You see, it doesn't matter. I know that there are peradventure, there is somebody here who is going through one situation or the other. There are people here who peradventure may be going to one physical ailment or the other. I am here to submit to you that you okay. It is very important that you accept the truth of God's word for what it is, absolute. You see, there is no midway in accepting God's word. It's either you accept or you do not accept. There is no maybe I accept. Every situation that you and I will come across, every situation that we will encounter, I am here to submit to you once again that there's a word for God from God that addresses that situation. Amen. Now, faith in God makes somebody else's impossibility. When I started the work I am currently employed at, there are people who they told me that because I am black and I am a woman, the possibility of a promotion is very, very limited. And the truth of the matter is that when you hear that constantly, it almost becomes your truth, right? But I'm here to submit that God is not a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. How many of us know Obed-Edom was a black man? And God dwelled in his tabernacle when David left God's oracle in his house and ran away. And during the time when God's oracle was in the house of Obed-Edom, the Bible records that his house prospered. And I am a living temple of God, meaning my place of work, when they say, "How good morning, how are you?" My response is always, "I am blessed and highly favored." Though it might not seem like that to you, but because you cannot look beyond my gender and you cannot look beyond the color of my complexion, it doesn't matter to me. Why? Because I will stand before kings and not mean men. You have to stand on the testimony for yourself. You have to say, what is the word of God for you at that any particular time? I remember when I first came into the United States in 2006, I came on the green visa lottery. In fact, that on its own was another testimony because I wasn't expecting to be selected. It's one out of a million. But by the grace of God, I was selected for the visa lottery. Mind you, in Nigeria, for everyone who understands, I worked in a bank. I was on an executive level. I was earning a good pay. So when I was selected for the visa lottery, and I went through the process, I did not even know until somebody told me that you might have the fact that they select you doesn't mean that you're going to get the visa eventually. That there's still so many things that you have to go through. So, anyway, by the grace of God, I went for the interview, passed the interview, I was given the visa, and it was time for me to come to the United States in 2006. I was single. My whole family was back in Nigeria. I had never been to the United States of America. I did not know. The only thing I knew about the U.S. was in the movies that I watched. I had traveled outside of Nigeria before, but to England. I had never been to America. Truth of the matter was that America was never in my horizon. Because America, why would I want to come to America and spend all that time on the plane when I can easily go to England from Nigeria and go back 6 hours? But so when I was, but God had another plan, amen. So when it was time for me to leave, I was afraid. I want to tell you the truth right now that I was afraid. And at the very first $1,000 that my uncle gave me in Nigeria, that because you are going, you can't go without any funds. I sold 10% of it at the church that I was at. I just sold it because I didn't sow it because I was expecting anything from God or I wanted God to do anything. I just felt led to do it and I did. And by the grace of God, I left. I came to America, not leaving my family. I'm coming to a land of, as far as I'm concerned, it's called the unknown. That on its own was an act of grace. Amen. It was an act of faith. It was an act of just believing that God must have a better plan for me. I'm coming to the United States of America. I came alone. But I can tell you that by the grace of God, God has been faithful. Amen. God has been faithful for all, throughout my stay here. 12 years and counting by the grace of God, God is still faithful. I thank God. Why? Because this God that we serve, I have come to a point where I have accepted that the God that we serve is faithful and he is great. And that he wants you and I to be a living testimony of his greatness and of his faithfulness in our lives in Jesus' name. Faith in God makes somebody else's impossibility your possibility. The Bible talks about Abraham and Sarah. Biologically, they were at an age where childbirth was an impossibility. But God had already promised that he was going to give them a seed. And by them, the seed of all the earth, you and I, will be blessed. And yet, and God brought his word to pass. Meaning that the God that we serve is not a respecter of time. As long as he has said it, he must do it. God will not deny himself. We have to make that our reality. That in any situation that we find ourselves, as parents, as individuals, regardless of what is going on in your life personally, God will not deny himself. Whatever that word is for you in that season, it has to come to pass. And I want you to claim that as your reality this morning. That even if nothing else that you take from this word and this message this morning, take the fact that God will not deny himself. He did not deny himself in the case of Abraham and Sarah, so he will not deny himself in our case. He did not deny himself in the case of Joseph. He will not deny himself in our case. He stood up, and even though in the book of Esther, not one time did they mention the word God, but God still proved himself faithful. And he made them great. He fought on their behalf. God made Daniel great. He transcended three kings. This was he was what we will call a refugee from a different town, came as a slave, but yet he was exalted. Why? Because of his faith in God. Daniel's faith in God led him to greatness, such that a whole book in the Bible was named after him. Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All is everything minus nothing. We have to make this our mantra. Make this your profession. Make this your personal confession. That it doesn't matter that situation. The God that I serve, with him, all things are possible. Amen. I am weak in my weakness. My God is strong. Why? Because all things are possible. When I am down, Master, even when the word says there's a casting down, I can say there's a lifting up. Why? Because with God, with my God, all things are possible. Even if I go to the doctor and the doctor says, "Yo, my womb is dried up," guess what? With my God, all things are possible. Even when I go to the doctor and the doctor looks at my baby, the baby in my womb, and says something is wrong, no, nothing is wrong. Why? Because with my God, all things are possible. Amen. So that even if they say that you are at that age, like Sarah, that you cannot have a baby, tell them that with my God, all things are possible. Until I say I don't want any more, my God is still going to give me much more than abundant. Why? Because my God is a more than a conqueror God. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that with God, all things are possible. Beloved, I want to establish again to you once again that there is power in the words that come out of your mouth. There is power in the words that we say. Why? Because the words that we constantly say to yourself becomes what you will accept. I'm one person that I enjoy watching fictions and children's cartoons. So I want to make a reference to two of them. In one particular ice age, there was a female mammoth. Because she grew up among possums, she believed that she was a possum. So whenever she slept, she hung from her tail on the tree. That's an impossible feat, but as a mammoth, a great big mammoth, she was able to accomplish it because in her mind, nothing could tell her that she was not a possum. Because all her life, she believed that she was a possum. So when she met another mammoth, and the mammoth told her, "You and I, we look alike, we have the same features," she laughed at the mammoth and said, "What do you mean? I am a possum." Meaning that your mindset is very important. Our minds will accept us the way we are. If we choose to say that we are more than conquerors, that meaning that I can do all things through God that strengthens me. Or once my mind is renewed to accepting that fact, it doesn't matter what the world says about that situation, my mind is made up. I am more than conqueror. I am a great big mammoth. I am not a possum. I cannot live the life of, I know, God forbid that I will walk as an elephant and eat as an ant. It is not in my generation, or is it the generation of my children? In the mighty name of Jesus. By the grace of God, you and I will live above and live as testimonies of the greatness and the faithfulness of our God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Faith acts immediately. It acts now. Unbelief says, "How can this be?" There are times when you and I face situations where the first thing that comes to our mind is, how can we establish this? How can this happen? How can this come about? It has never been done before. Truly, it might never have been done before, but in 2 Kings chapter 7 from verses 1, the Bible says, "Then Elisha said," this is during the time where the land of Samaria had been going through some severe drought. People were suffering in terms of there was no food. But this is the word of God from the prophet Elisha. "Then Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria.'" So an officer whose hand the king leaned on answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact," this is Elisha talking, answering this man, "in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Unbelief is an enemy of faith. There's just no doubt about it. There's no argument about it. Like I said, there is no in-between faith. There's no in-between believing the word of God. It's either you are believing God's word absolutely, or you do not believe it at all. The man of God has spoken. Just because this man thinks that he's an academic person, or he has the hand of the king the king leans on him, so he believes that he's so wise. He's wiser than the man of God. He's wiser than, for example, in this day and age, I remember one time, in fact, I want to use my this as I God, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing this to my mindset, my remembrance. I remember there was a time in the north, the news forecast was for everybody to stay home because I live in the north, close to the airport. And there was a particular weather. It was going to be a really bad weather that was coming our way. And they wanted everyone to evacuate. And I stood up and I looked at the weather. And I said to the weather, I know what they have said in the news, but I will not live in fear. Why? Because I am a tither, number one. I am a child of God, number two. This house is surrounded by the fire of the Holy Spirit. So whatever you want to do, do it to a portion and then fly over and go. Otherwise, just carry your wahala and go. It is not by force that you have to come and rain terror. And I can submit to you that by the grace of God, that day, nothing happened. It was, everybody was astounded. It was like, what happened? And there are times where I'm even on my way to work, the rain will be blasting, and I'll just speak to this weather. And it has happened to me several times. And I'll talk to the rain. I actually have a conversation with the rain. And I'll tell the rain, I will say, rain, in the name of Jesus, before I get to my place of work, stop. I don't have an umbrella and I'm not going to go into my office wet. And I choose not to stay in this car for however long. So by the time I get to work, just stop. You can continue after I've gone back inside. But all I know is at this point when I'm getting inside, you cannot beat me. I will not go inside wet. And I'll get in and my co-workers are like, wait, it wasn't raining outside. Yeah, it was raining. Oh, the rain stopped? Yes, it stopped. And I will move on. There's no long story about this. Why? Because you have to believe in the God you serve. You have to believe in the word of God as being absolute. Regardless of whatever the situation, even the situation can look like it is horrible and dreadful at that particular time. All you need is speak a word. If thou can only believe that all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. It takes faith, meaning believing in God's word as absolute. Faith is absolute. There is no come and go. There is no argument when it comes to faith. Faith is absolute. Amen. Bishop Oyedepo would say something that has become one of my favorite tantras or mantras. And that is that we have to walk in the majesty of scriptures. It was a beautiful sentence. And it stuck to me. It stuck to me at the time of my low. And that was a time when I went to the doctor and the doctor looked at my womb at that time in 2008 and said that there is no possibility of me conceiving. Why? Because they had seen something there that would stall my conception. I remember standing, they told me to come back. They ran the test, the first step, so they didn't tell me the results. It was when I was going back, I had armed myself with a lot of scriptures. I was ready for the doctor. I went in there fully armed by the Holy Spirit. And immediately the doctor she gave me her report. I stood up and said, I respect your fact. But the truth is that this womb is fruitful. I will bear seed. I will conceive and I will bear seed. It is not a go come. There is no argument here. I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm going to go into this discussion with you. I said it in a very aggressive way, I remember. But she did not even complete her examination of me. I just stood up immediately. I told my husband was there. He was stunned. I said, honey, let's go. The doctor was like, but we are not. I said, yes, from now, right now, you and I, we are done. Let's go. I didn't complete the examination. Whether we're charged or not, I don't know. But I left that hospital room. Why? Because I chose to live in the majesty of scriptures. You and I need to make that our own personal confession every day of your life. Regardless, even right now, if we are here right now and you have a marriageable age and you don't think that anybody's coming your way, Live in the majesty of scriptures. The word of God says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You are a good thing. That man that will find you will find you. And if peradventure you're a single man here, the Lord will give you the bone of your bone and the flesh of your flesh in the name of Jesus. If it is your portion, as it is what you want, so shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. In conclusion, fuel and water both may be liquid, but when you pour both into fire, they have different effects. When you pour gas or fuel into fire, it then flames. But if you pour water into fire, it douses it. So the fire I'm talking about right now is faith. And the gas in question is the word of God. We have to mix the word of God with our fire, amen, so that you and I can live greatly. We should come to the point in our lives when we go out and people will look at you and look at me and say, wow, what God is good. And you and I have to come to the point where we live our lives so that other people can testify on our behalf that in that sister's life, in that brother's life, God is good. Whether they believe in that God we serve or not, God is good. So that at the end of the day, through our lives, they will come to the knowledge of the faithful and great God that we serve in Jesus' name. I want us to lift up our voice in the word of prayer. I want us to pray and ask that God give you and I the grace. The grace to live in faith that leads to his greatness. Esther did, Daniel did, Joseph did, Abraham did, Sarah did. At the end of the day, the Bible tells us that this was a good report for them. Let us pray, Father, give me that grace. The grace, oh God, to live a life faithfully. To give my life faithfully. Give my children the grace, oh God, to live their lives faithfully, oh, so that we will manifest your greatness. Your greatness in every situation of our lives in the name of Jesus. Your greatness, oh God, massacre. That wherever I go, people will see your greatness in my life. Oh, Father, we bless your holy name. Thank you, God, for answering our cry. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' mighty name. If you have been blessed, why don't you give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.